Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit MySpecialMortgage.com. That's MySpecialMortgage.com.
104.3 The Fan presents Big Al and D-Mac with the big story of the day.
Big story right off the bat is the delicious food from Ted's Montana Grill. What are you feasting on there, Big Sexy? What are you munching on?
I've got myself a New York strip, bison New York strip.
I've got a bison filet. Zach is hanging around for a little bit. Chad Brown in for Al for Al for not feeling so good.
Bye.
Now, normally,
what was that?
I would feel bad about us all eating some delicious food from Ted's. But I heard you and Stokely won again in the Kings Supers fan football pick'em.
The seventh time in 12 weeks.
That is
boring.
I mean, like, what is going on here?
So I hope you can see how delicious this may be.
That looks phenomenal.
I mean, you can't have any because you get your free food from King Supers.
We are the real winners today.
Apparently every week. Yeah. But it's so did Pritch. Pritch was the big loser, right?
Yeah. Pritch is getting shamed. Actually, I think Pritch is getting shamed this week, but it's also he may be the quarterly loser.
Yeah, who's? Because I heard I beat him by 3, but I get it. That was updated. So I'm tied with him at the bottom.
You know what?
So how did they decide that tiebreaker?
I think I had heard from Raj earlier that Pritch would in fact be shamed. And again, just to reset, if you're the loser for the quarter, you have to like walk through our sales department while they boo you and throw things at you, and you gotta record a video.
I've already done it.
You took it like a champ.
Tried to. It was around Halloween. I had extra candy. So right now it's got me and Pritch like at the bottom. But I don't know how you break tiebreakers. How do you break tiebreakers for the quarter?
That's a Raj.
Well, you remember how Alfred and Stink broke the tiebreaker, right?
No, how did they?
Alfred just didn't show up for it, and Stink did it alone.
Oh, that's right.
That's how that happened, huh?
That did happen.
Oh, okay. Well, I can do that. I can not show up like the best of them. You going to the game tonight?
I'll be there.
Oh.
I try to almost make at least half the home games
on this
there.
One, though, tonight.
This is special.
Come on.
Well, you know, and I said this.
Don't forget you're talking to a Laker fan now.
When
I am?
When the Nuggets.
You're a Lakers fan?
I grew up a Lakers fan.
In Buffalo?
I'm not from Buffalo. You always say that. I'm from Albany. It's about 5 hours away.
Sorry. Sorry.
No.
Central New York?
Upstate New York? Yeah. Well, when I was younger, like a lot of other kids, you don't know much about anything. And you cheer for the guy who's larger than life. In 1994, you know, when I'm 8 years old, there's no one bigger than Shaquille O'Neal. He's in movies, he's in video games.
Michael Jordan wasn't bigger?
No, at least to kids. Like, Shaq was, like, appealed more to kids at that time.
I mean, you know, Michael's in, like, cartoons and stuff.
Well, to be fair, and during that time, Jordan was out of basketball in 94. But yes, like I was a Shaq guy. He goes over to L.A., cheered for him. They draft, you know, or get Kobe from Charlotte and in the trade with Vlade Divac. And next thing I know, I'm cheering for 5 championships over Kobe's career.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you pulling for the Lakers today?
No. You know, I almost feel bad in a sense because my fanhood that I've had forever is sort of dissipating as I get older. The guys that I rooted for and really, I used to really cheer for Kobe. And after they retire and you got, you know, a new set of guys and it just changes. And also I live here now. This is my home. This is where we've put roots down and had a son. And, you know, I go to all the Nuggets games. So I find myself very naturally starting to pull for the Nuggets.
Okay. Well, you'll know tonight. You'll feel it one way or the other. You know, you'll just know. I knew I was a real Rockies fan when I was at the Red Sox-Rockies game, regular season, and Giambi of the Rockies hit a walk-off. It was an all-time memorable regular season win for the Rockies, and I was excited. And I was like, oh, I'm a Rockies fan. I'm a Rockies fan more than I'm a Red Sox fan because I'm being put to the fan test right now. How do I honestly feel about this moment. And I, am I happier or am I upset? And I was definitely happy. I was like pumped. My kids were there. My wife's there. There's 50,000 people there. Jambi was a cool guy to cover. And, you know, it was exciting, you know, period. So I knew right then and there. And then when the Red Sox played the Rockies, I hated it. It wasn't fun. You know, I thought, oh, wouldn't that be awesome? Well, it happened, and it was not awesome.
Yeah.
You know, because it was so exciting having the Rockies in the World Series, and you don't want to be that Debbie Downer about things. Nah, it's easy for me to hate the Lakers. I've always hated the Lakers. I've never liked the Lakers.
They're pretty hateable.
Yeah, I grew up in the Boston area as a huge Celtics fan.
Sure.
And you know, we play the Lakers all the time here in the West. It's, you know. But, you know, I've been lucky to see some just ridiculous games by Kobe Bryant, so it's hard not to have respect. But I can't stand the Lakers, can't stand the Dodgers, hate the Yankees, all that sort of stuff. What else? Giants, hate the Giants. Padres are just meh, you know, because they just don't do anything. Diamondbacks, can't stand the Diamondbacks. It's easy for me to hate on these teams. So for me, tonight is like, let's, you know, let's embarrass the Lakers and LeBron. And by the way, I've been lucky over the years. I've seen LeBron play in person more than a dozen times.
Sure.
So it's like,
yeah,
and it's not that big of a deal. Well, but I'm sure it'll be a big deal tonight.
Yeah, and he's in a Lakers uniform.
Yeah,
and it's different. And how I know I'll probably watch the game is like the Nuggets don't take the floor without me pulling for them to win. And I think that'll be the same case tonight, while simultaneously having a great appreciation for one of the five greatest players who is still finding a way to be in his prime. I mean, dude was in his 15th year last year, I'm pretty sure, and he averaged a career-high assist. Like, LeBron James has reinvented himself many times.
Yeah, he's really good.
This is the latest chapter.
I mean, I like LeBron, for sure. I'm a LeBron fan. I'm just not a Lakers fan. So, I mean, I guess I can pull for LeBron to be cool and wish them to lose by 20.
Well, you know what?
That could happen, I guess.
D-Mac, that's actually the structure now of the NBA fan.
Yeah.
And the NBA's done a great job with this, marketing their guys. Like, I am not a Milwaukee Bucks fan by any means, but I am a huge Giannis Antetokounmpo fan.
Love that guy.
You know, I am not...
He's fun to watch.
I am not a Jazz fan. I'm a huge Donovan Mitchell fan. And I think there's a lot of fans out there who will feel the way that I do about some of these teams, and they go to see LeBron. You know, he is a show unto himself, as is Giannis and others.
I think that's always been the case. You know, like, when the Nuggets got... I remember, like, the Sixers would come, and everybody wants to see Allen Iverson. So you would see a ton of Allen Iverson jerseys, but I don't think anybody was really pulling for the Sixers.
Right, right. Okay.
And then he came here. That was really interesting. They were good.
They were really good.
With Iverson and Melo and...
And you could argue if it wasn't for Kobe Bryant and Pau Gasol and Trevor Ariza and Andrew Bynum, that the Nuggets would have played in the finals and probably won, because if you remember the opponent the year that the Nuggets were really close, it was the Orlando Magic.
And your memory is awesome. I don't remember that at all.
And Dwight Howard was on a run. He was a first ever player, three consecutive defensive player of the year. They had Jameer Nelson and Courtney Lee and these other guys. But whoever came out of the West was going to win the title.
Speaking of interesting weeks, Dwight Howard. Wow. Are you caught up on all that?
I'm uncomfortably caught up.
Big Sexy sent me the story, and that was
a lot to it.
That was a 90-minute wormhole. Maybe I shouldn't use that. But that was, I know what cisgender means now. The biggest thing I got from the Dwight Howard story was the term cisgender. I now know what that means. Do you know what cisgender means?
I'd rather just stay away from the whole thing.
If you don't know what it means, just say what you don't know what it means. Because I didn't know what it meant until I had to look it up. Just say you don't know what it meant. It's not an embarrassing thing, by the way.
I don't know what it means.
You are probably cisgender. Most of us are cisgender. Cisgender means that when you're born, the doctor declares you a boy or a girl. And throughout the course of your life, you identify the same thing the doctor has told you. So most of us are cisgender. Transgender is mean you are born one way and said, or you're born a way and you're said, hey, you're a boy, but you identify as a girl, or vice versa. That's transgender. This is how you identify yourself. So cisgenders, most of us are probably cisgender. I had no idea there was a name for it.
There's a name for everything now.
But there is, and it's cisgender. So the person that Dwight Howard has been having some issues with is cisgender. That's right. I'm telling you. And if you don't know the whole story, then you got to Google it and look it up, because I don't know how I would even explain it other than the fact that it looks like Dwight Howard what is he? I don't know. He's curious.
He's caught up in a domestic dispute with somebody else.
Yeah, but it's based on a relationship. It is based on a relationship, right?
It is. There was a relationship with he and the cisgender partner.
That's right. That's what I read.
It was.
Am I?
Nope. And then there's
see,
also.
See, you didn't you didn't do the cisgender research like I did.
Nope. I left that to you.
See, it
and
sounds
the other
like
cisgender experts.
Well,
I just read what was going down. What his cisgender partner kind of aired his dirty laundry that he's getting down, sort of like eyes wide shut.
Yeah.
Yet open.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't care. You know. It's but the reason that it's an issue isn't because of who Dwight Howard was fooling around with. It was because there were threats and other
pastors involved.
Mean, dirty, nasty, ugly accusations.
Crazy story.
Pretty crazy story. Yeah. So, hey, man, love is love. I want to support love. I want to know what love is. I want people to be happy. I want people to be okay with whoever they want to be and whatever they, you know, whatever.
However you get down.
Hey, fine by me. I don't want, you know, I don't want people to be threatening other people or feel like they're, you know, they're in danger or anything like that. That's no good.
Also, you know, passing around things that, you know, you don't want to pass around.
Don't want that either, you know, but if Dwight Howard is happy doing something, I don't care. It doesn't bother me. Why, no. why would I care?
And people forget, and Dwight Howard became, over a period of time, the most really despised athlete in the NBA. I mean,
why is that?
You got to remember how popular this guy was. I mentioned the Shaq example in movies and in video games and stuff. Dwight wasn't to that extent, but Dwight was the most kid friendly. He was Superman, winning dunk contest, big smile.
Yeah, I like Dwight Howard. Like, I guess I don't know much about him.
Over a period of time,
has he ever been on a championship team?
Not that one. He single-handedly brought the Magic to, like, there's never been a player in NBA history to win Defensive Player of the Year 3 straight years until Dwight Howard showed up.
Gotcha.
People forget how much of a monster he was. He's one of the great rebounders of all time.
But he's been on like 8 different teams, and he hasn't won a championship.
Yep.
And
yep.
It's probably been overall a disappointing career, right?
Considering the expectations of a number one overall pick coming out of Atlanta.
Right.
I mean, he had the world at his feet, and just, I don't think he was a worker. You know, he never developed an offensive package. I remember when he was at the Lakers, Kareem tried to work with him, and he, at a certain point, became resistant.
Mm.
His feud with Van Gundy there in Orlando became, it just, now he barely has respect. But he's probably, at a certain point, underrated because he was still really good, but people just had enough of him.
That's quite a story. It's definitely a PG-13 type of story out there, so I didn't understand it. I needed to, it was confusing. I'm not going to lie. When I'm like, you know, going to YouTube videos to just get definitions of words, it's like, you know, that's a tough one for me. So, okay.
But how about the Nuggets? They've won 3 straight games.
Love the Nuggets.
They've
They're
bounced
awesome.
Back after losing 6 of those 7. They beat the Timberwolves on the road, who have been a bugaboo. Remember, they got beat in game 82 last year. The Magic, who are in the Eastern Conference playoffs, who just beat the Lakers 2 nights ago.
We've beaten the Lakers all the time here in Denver in the regular season. Beat the Warriors on a pretty consistent basis at home. There's nobody we can't sort of take. I think coming to Denver for the basketball. See, I don't know, like, what's the Lakers schedule? What have they been doing in their past 5 days?
They have been figuring it out. It's what they've been doing. I mean, they stumbled right out of the gate, and they have now won 7 of their last 9 games. Coming off that coming off that loss to the Magic.
But it's always kind of like, where do you fit in with, you know, what am I looking up? NBA, let me get it right here.
What are you looking for?
Chad Brown coming in the studio,
up,
my
Chad?
Man.
Looking sharp, too.
What's up, fellas?
Chad, that is a, doing a little TV.
Getting really sharp.
Got a little TV, yes.
Good, yeah, you do look good. Chad always looks
smells
good.
Smells like deliciousness in here.
Bison, baby. Little Ralphie.
Nice.
Ralphie action from Tez, Montana.
Bison slash buffalo eater.
I know. You can have a little bit. I'm not feeding him because he gets free food from winning the pick'em thing all the time. So I'm mad because we lose.
Seven times.
Seven-time champ or seven-time loser?
No, seven-time
champ. We got the Robert Horry number. No, seven-time champ in 12 weeks.
All right, let me look
Chad,
at this.
Chad, you got to help these
you
guys out.
You're fingers for your rings.
I know. I feel like Bill Russell.
You're in good company. Chad's got to be a Lakers fan.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure you like the Nuggets, but you had to grow up as a Lakers fan.
I'm like Zach, where I heard Zach when I was driving in. The fandom, never really been a fan of too many teams outside of, say, the Lakers as a kid. But as I get older, even that's gone. You know, obviously, all the Laker greats of my era have long since retired. And even the last Laker great that, you know, that I identified with is Kobe. Now he's gone. So it's cool that LeBron is there.
Yeah.
But I'd say my Laker fandom days are over.
The Lakers have had a weird, this is a very weird game because they've got, this is nuts. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 home games, except for this one. So they've had 2 home games and 4 straight. So this is an exact, this is not a good time to play the Lakers. It's not an exact, it's not a, they're not at the back end. It's not a back-to-back game. It's not
road trip.
And they're and like I said, they're coming off a loss at home to the Orlando Magic. They're going to be a motivated bunch tonight.
Yeah, they are. Okay, tough game. Good, tough matchup.
Yeah.
Exciting.
Yeah. And look, the Nuggets just
like
beat the Thunder. How about this? The Nuggets beat the Thunder on a three games and 4 nights. It's the last leg. They're on the road to an OKC team who had won 12 of 14. The Nuggets go in there and win their third straight. They have been playing well. I'm impressed with the bounce back after losing 6-7.
Yeah, and the Nuggets are about to go on a massive road trip. Portland, Toronto. Mm-hmm. What? Who scheduled that? Portland to Toronto? To Orlando?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow.
It's like 4 corners.
That is crazy. Portland, Toronto, Orlando, Charlotte, Atlanta. So the last 3 are all kind of close, but dang.
D-Mac, you said something, Chad. This is going to resonate with you because we talked about this last year. D-Mac, you said, hey, the Nuggets have been able to beat the Warriors, the Lakers, those teams consistently. What they haven't been able to do
during the regular season, yeah.
Yeah, but what they haven't been able to do is pound the teams that they're supposed to pound at home.
Right.
Because you and I were both at the Hawks game last year.
Yes.
When the Hawks had
nothing.
Like, literally the worst team in the NBA, top 3 pick, and they led. Not only did they win, they led wire to wire.
Yes.
And I remember you and I did a show after that and was like, what are we doing down here watching this?
I don't understand how you can be a team that can compete with the absolute best, but then fall back and lose to the worst team in the league and never have even a 2-point lead in that ball game. So those kind of things are just so maddening as a coach and as a fan, because you can see what the potential is, but some reason you can't maintain that level consistently. So is it maturity? Is it lack of focus? Is it coaching? Is it, you know, habits on the road that aren't conducive to winning? What is the situation here that allows this team to not be steady Eddie, but wildly up and wildly down from one game to the next?
They're trying to figure it out.
The text line is talking about cis,
Cisgender.
Cisgender?
Cis fandom.
Cis fandom.
Oh, cis fandom.
That says cis fandom would be you are a fan now of the team that you were appointed of by your like dad
or your uncle or something.
You are going to be a Nuggets fan like when you were born and you continue to be a Nuggets fan. That is a cis fandom.
This is interesting that you're saying this because
I guess I'm a trans fandom then.
you're a trans fan.
Yes.
You're a trans fan.
I'm a trans fan.
With a trans stamp to prove it.
Yeah. So there you go. So when it comes to basketball, I'm trans fandom.
Well, it's funny.
And I'd be trans fandom for, everything, I guess.
Well,
I'm a trans fan.
I'll take a guess.
Not a cis fan.
Most of us are fans of the team, at least when you're younger, of who? who you looked up
you
to
think
your
most
father.
Most of us are cis fans.
Oh, totally.
You
cis
know,
fandoms.
Like my dad was a Buffalo Bills fan.
Right.
Well, what do you know? I grew up a Buffalo Bills
so
fan.
So I'm a little bit different than everybody because I'm a trans fan.
Well, yes, it's, you know, if you're...
I hope that you guys accept me.
Your parents are Christian. You're going to be... You're probably, chances are you're not going to go, you know what?
Probably.
I'm Muslim. I'm going to break against family tradition here. I'm going the opposite way here.
You're religious.
But now with I have a son. I have a son, and I'm talking to with my buddy about this recently. Uh-huh. Like, we live in Denver. We love this community. And do I want to send my son to school as a Bills fan in Denver? Or should he root for the hometown team in which we live?
Well, what have you appointed him? What have you named him? You're the father.
As a father of a child.
You get to name it.
You get to influence their political life, their religious life, and their fandom.
What are you choosing to make him?
What are you going for there, Zach?
Yeah.
You know what?
What
is our community. He's a Broncos fan.
So you're going to make him a Broncos fan?
Yeah.
You appoint him a Broncos fan?
That's what
fan.
We do every Sunday. We watch the Broncos, and there's never a time that the Broncos take the field. I'm not rooting for them to win.
When you say we watch, he's actively engaged?
He's with me, dude. Is this just drooling?
And how old is your son?
He is 4.5 months.
So when you guys are watching. When you're watching sports together, is that before or after you take him to the zoo? Where is that?
Where's the diaper change and all that?
Where's
the
nap? That?
Dude, I'm now timing my diaper changes. I can change a diaper in a minute flat.
Here's one thing I know about Zach. I have no doubts about it. You will definitely be having a one-year-old birthday party. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. You gotta celebrate life, man. It's too short. Someone tell Nick Saban and Bill Belichick that. You get a win, it's okay to smile. If you have a son, it's his birthday, you can celebrate it.
I think those two guys are doing okay.
I just laugh at the one-year-old birthday parties because it's just an excuse for adults to drink beers together.
Well,
you
give the kid like a cake and he smashes all over his face. It's cute pictures
forever. Why wouldn't you do that?
So, yes, the birthday party, the presents are not for the kid. Uh-huh. The presents are to make grandma feel good. Uh-huh. But the...
I just want parents to know.
For the pictures.
I'm okay with having that's fine. Just as long as everybody, all the parents realize you're not doing this for the kid.
No.
This has nothing. Like, as an adult, you don't go back, oh, mom, dad, where is the picture of me when I was one smushing cake in my face? I've got to have that. You realize that never happens.
My daughter has requested that photo.
Only you would have this take.
I hate
on a one-year-old birthday party.
No, I definitely don't. Listen, this
D-Mac
is your
hates
no, no, no.
Spanish class.
No.
He hates Selena.
No.
He hates teachers.
No, no. You are, Zach, not to bring out the age difference thing, but you are in a different generation where everything, and it's okay, because I just think parents of your generation, everything's on display, right? Everything's on display.
In terms of?
Everything.
Instagram photos, you know, celebrating
everything.
Did you have
a gender reveal?
Yep.
Okay. Did you somehow record your engagement?
No.
You didn't?
I did not.
It was not on a Jumbotron or something?
It's very private.
Okay. Well, kudos to you on that. You're going to have a one-year-old birthday. It's going to be...
Sure we will.
Everything in your life is probably on social media.
It is not. We have gone out of our way to talk about this. We don't want to be those parents who overpost. Now, I want to post my son on Twitter like once a week. I'm making myself do it only once a month. Okay? Life's too short. I'm happy. I'm proud of him.
I do the same thing too. Sort of.
Yeah, you are a little guilty of that.
Sometimes. I've been backing off.
You got a double. Here's a video. Oh,
is this on Facebook?
From six different angles.
Is this on Facebook?
I'm not a big Facebook guy.
Me neither. So, I got my account hacked by someone in Baghdad who still has access to it and posts regularly. No joke. Facebook has given me no help to get it back. I'm very anti-Facebook.
I like InstaFace. That's my favorite one.
Face chat.
Yeah. Snapface.
Snapface. That's what it was.
Snapface. Are any of you guys on Instagram?
I am, but I never update it. I am, though. There's some sort of account there.
Okay. No.
My kid tells me about it every now and then.
Well, Twitter only.
Twitter only. Well, yeah, Twitter's my favorite. Instagram would be my second, and that's about it for me.
All right. So tonight, listen, social media in terms of covering sports, I mean, I absolutely, absolutely love it. Absolutely. You know what I was tuned into, and I'm not against social media whatsoever. I watched the Mars landing from the perspective of the scientists and stuff from NASA.
Yeah.
Dude, it was like awesome 30 minutes of like just watching and trying to understand why this was such a big deal and how much effort was put into it. And because of so, it was really cool to go through it. So I'm not trying to be, you know, an old man on the roof get off my lawn. Old men wouldn't be on the roof, though.
No, they would.
It'd be hard to be on the roof.
They make commercials
you
about
that.
You'd
be a fiddler and be on the roof.
They make commercials and products to ensure that old men never go on the roof.
Tonight, how will you be covered? Will you be posting some stuff? Can we follow along?
Well, you know, I don't.
Wait, are you covering the game?
No.
Or is this
well, you know,
how many beers will we consume?
Yeah, yeah.
No beers. No beers. No beers.
So you could cover if you had to.
No, I do. I'm doing cocktails, just no beers.
Oh, okay. I appreciate the sincerity.
You're a fan today. You're a cis fan of the Lakers today.
I have a credential. I have not used it once. I bought a ticket package instead. Uh-huh. I want to hang out with a buddy.
That's awesome.
I want to drink a beer, and I'll go home and rewatch the game before we record the Mile High Hoops podcast.
Nice.
All right.
Cool, man.
Have a great time tonight.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks for letting us stick around.
Thanks for filling in for me, dude.
Yeah, you got it, bro.
We'll find out why Chad's so dressed up. We'll enjoy our Ted's Montana. And I got great news about the Bengals. They are terrible. All those details coming up.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222, the phone number. SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
It's Big Al and D-Mac with the Big Three.
Story number one, Chad Brown in for Alfred. I'm just going to base it on my previews of the Cincinnati Bengals, and I'll just start it with this, Chad. They're terrible. They have lost three in a row. They've got blown out in two of those three. I don't know what they do well. Chad? Am I out on too much of a limb if I tell you, I guess that's my question, am I on too much of a limb if I tell you this is one of the easier games of the year for the Broncos to win?
I think it is. As much as I want to push the cliched lines, the NFL, any team, any given day, we've seen backup quarterbacks play well this season. We've seen backup quarterbacks come in and win games for their teams. This feels like such an easy win. But if you and I are thinking that, they're thinking that over there at the Broncos headquarters.
Maybe.
In that locker room, they're talking about this.
And it's hard not to notice it when you're looking at film and you're scouting your opponent.
Right. And now Andy Dalton's out. So whatever hope you had seems to have lost for the Bengals. But weird things happen in the NFL.
I got it. But on tape.
Yes.
This has got to be one of the easier opponents for the Broncos. And maybe I got to think about it for a second. Because you're playing San Francisco. Maybe they're easier and you're playing Oakland. So maybe it's not the easiest road game, but... Easiest one so far. Do you agree with me on that?
That is a statement I can...
Easiest road game so far.
I can correct. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Bongos.
Three!
Well, speaking of the 49ers,
yes.
Reuben Foster, the linebacker who was released by the 49ers, has been claimed by the Washington Redskins. Now, he was released by the 49ers due to a charge of misdemeanor domestic violence. This is after a long string of issues with him going back to college and even high school for him. Do you have a problem with any team, or even, let's say, your team, whatever team that may be, picking up a guy in these kind of circumstances?
What's he guilty of? What's his, what are Reuben Foster's transgressions?
This is the, I think, second or third domestic violence incident with the same girl.
Yeah, I'd have a problem with that. Yes, I would.
And your
I would be like,
would
why, are we, why are we so desperate? I mean, really? General manager? We're that desperate? Like, we've got to add a guy like this? Really? I mean, that was my issue with Pac-Man Jones. We're that desperate? Like, there's nobody else out there for us? Because they've shown themselves to be incredibly irresponsible. And to make a move in desperation, like, we don't have any kind of bar that we set out of respect for women that we need this guy, really? So I guess, yeah. Yeah, that's how I'd feel about it. You?
There's a line. The Kendricks kid who was featured on Hard Knocks, who the Seattle Seahawks picked up, the linebacker, who was accused of insider trading.
Yeah? How's he doing these days?
He's still with the Seahawks.
Okay.
Playing okay. Now, I think he's got some charges coming up which may prevent him from playing for the Seahawks.
I guess, is it just me, Mike Evans? that I view domestic violence against women as a more serious offense than insider trading?
I do.
I do too.
You're not alone. I think that's the correct call. I'm disappointed in the Redskins to sign him.
But that being said, it's still a crime. Like, you're still putting a guy... I just don't know. Everybody's entitled to their own trial and the whole thing. And, all right, I'm with you. America.
Uh-huh.
Love America, by the way.
America, Jack.
But
well,
it's
just
like,
so we're aware, Michael Kendricks did get suspended 8 games. He is likely to return for the Week 14 game against the Vikings.
Right? He played early, was suspended, and will be back.
Yeah, he played Week 2, 3, and 4.
But he could be going to a white-collar prison and playing tennis with Gordon Gekko anytime soon.
Well, Martha's already out, so yeah.
All right, bongos.
3!
Tonight, with the Lakers in town and LeBron. LeBron's played here many, many times, but first time as a Laker. Is tonight more special, or is it just another LeBron game? Is it more special because he's with the Lakers rather than Cleveland or Miami?
I think just from a divisional matchup, of course. But outside of that, it's people would come and pack the can if LeBron was playing for anybody. But the fact that he's with the Lakers, I think it adds a little something to it. Yeah, a
little something, huh?
Add a little specialness to it, to choose the same word you did. Yeah,
I agree with you. I mean, it's always cool to see LeBron, period. He's just one of those guys. Let's face it, we love to hate the Lakers. We love to hate the Dodgers. We love to hate things from L.A. Except for you, Chad. We just love you, period. Bongo.
3!
Oh, we don't get one more? Come on. Chad's got a quick one. What do you got?
Is defense dead in football?
Yes. Thank God. Bongos.
3!
No, it definitely is not. And the Broncos are actually proving that. And we can sink our teeth into it in a little bit, maybe with football at 4. But coming up next, Matt McChesney. Great Buffalo, right? Buffalo pride. But the CU Mafia has done a great job of getting rid of another head coach. We'll see who you guys choose next. Sure, you have your secret meetings. Maybe Matt's part of that. Maybe he's not. I don't know. But when we come back, what the offensive line for the Broncos is really all about. They work out every Tuesday with Matt McChesney. Details next.
It's The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Yeah, we gotta play some dungeon music. Let's get in the dungeon. It's 4 o'clock. Why aren't you already here in the dungeon? We're gonna get some weights and we're just gonna push things around, and then we're gonna push some more things around. And we're gonna eat a lot of meat, and then we're gonna be back in the dungeon, and we're gonna just work where nobody can see us. That's what I'm talking about, right, Matt? It's 4:03. You're late. Why did you even bother to show up? Matt McChesney. Okay. Hey, Matt is the owner of 6-0 Strength and Fitness Dungeon, the Dungeon Family. I love the Dungeon Family. Matt's one of those guys that takes a kid in sixth grade who just happens to be 6'1" and 240 pounds and makes him feel like there's a home for you. That's what Matt does.
And there's a home for them all. If they want to walk the bridge, we're going to build it. That's what we do here.
Now, why I wanted to have you on, Matt, is we have an offensive line that we just couldn't dream of. Right. And it includes Elijah Wilkinson at guard, Connor McGovern at center. Maybe we could imagine that. And then Billy Turner at left guard. This is just not a world we saw coming. Now, if I'm not mistaken, all those guys work out with you. Is that right?
They do.
Okay.
Yeah,
why don't you put some insight? And who else works out with you aside from those guys that are in the Broncos?
Right now in the gym, we've got the Viking, but he tore his hamstring, so he's in this afternoon, and we'll talk about what we're going to do moving forward.
I thought the Broncos put him on injured reserve. Yeah, that's a bummer. Yeah.
Too bad. Getting hurt in practice is never fun. Cyrus Colangelo's back in. He just re-signed the other day. He came in last Monday and worked out, and got him right for his workout on Tuesday, and he killed it, and they signed him. So Cyrus is back in. Sam Jones has been in here forever. Obviously, everybody knows that. Connor McGovern, Billy Turner, Will Prechek is still working out. The CU Buff, trying to get a job. Just worked out for the Colts the other day. Elijah, Austin Schwartman,
yep,
from TCU, just started up today, actually. Just started this morning with the group. So, I mean, we had Ron in here for a while until he got hurt.
Right.
Matt was in here for a while until he got hurt, unfortunately. So
Garrett's not in there, and neither is Valdir. Is that right?
Rob Deere's played for 10 years, so if he wants to take a vet day, there it is. But Garrett, look, I'm not trying to badmouth Garrett, but we've spoken several times. We just can't seem to get him in the room.
Okay. So,
and that's fair. He's improving. He's played a lot better the last couple of weeks.
How common is it for offensive linemen to spend an off day? And is it, are they only in there on their off days? Is that generally what happens?
We do Tuesday and Friday afternoons. So it's maybe Thursday afternoons, but we don't. It's not individual periods. We're not trying to wear guys out. We're trying to fix little problems that they may overlook or not have time to do at Dove Valley and UCL. So for example, if Connor struggled with face pressure from the nose tackle because they were in that like tilted bear look the whole game with two, three techniques, and then 79 was on his corner in a tilt nose.
Mm-hmm.
If they're bull rushing guys and he's elevating his hips to knock the straight arm bull rush off, and because of his elevation, he's getting pushed back further, we need to fix that on Tuesday morning. That's not something they're going to identify and say, okay, McGovern needs to fix this week. They can't do that over there. They got to get ready for the Bengals. So
right.
It's on. The one thing that I can say about Connor McGovern is when we started together after his rookie year in January of that year, which was 2 years ago, he sat down in front of me and I said, are you satisfied not pressing as a rookie? Clancy Barone, who was the O-line coach at the time for the Broncos, thought that, you know, he kind of comes from an affluent family, not knowing he's a blue-collar rancher and mm-hmm. a farmer, and that he doesn't like football and he's not mean. No, that's not the case. He needs to be developed into the pro game, and if he can't do it, they're not going to get anything out of it, and then Clancy couldn't. So Connor just needed direction and the right push, and we've seen what happened. Billy Turner is the most versatile lineman. I mean, good God in heaven. He's an unrestricted free agent at the end of this year. If the Broncos let 7-7 leave, they are essentially telling me they don't think that there's a future with that offensive line. And that offensive line that I'm looking at, think about maybe replacing Valdir just from an age perspective, but if you don't have to, you don't have to. They are pretty damn good the last 2 weeks.
The one play that may stand out to people is when late in the game, McGovern got pushed back into Keenum and Elijah.
And Elijah got beat bad, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Little tiny things. Elijah oversetting and throwing both hands. You do it consistently on tape, they're going to see it. Ask Chad. He sees one thing on tape that he can work you on as an offensive lineman, and he's going to do it over and over again until it works. It's the old adage with O-line, D-line, and I played both ways for so long that I believe this wholeheartedly. You have 100 snaps, just like we're talking about the one snap at the end of the game. You have 100 snaps, and for 98 of those snaps on offense, you are kicking the hell out of people. And you played out at 98%, but the other two plays, you gave up strip sacks. You're the worst player on the field. Consequently, defensively, if you have 100 snaps and for 98 of them, all you do is read your key and loaf around, but for two of those plays, you get strip sack fumbles that determine the game, you're the best player on the field. So it's a different world for the linemen.
All right, Matt, now I'm going to pull the scope back a little bit, not so specifically, but a little bit more general here. And you and I have talked about this in the past. I've seen so many offensive linemen come into the NFL, what I call the baby Huey syndrome, where they're nice guys, they're big, and they've always been told not to go out and hurt people, and they're very soft. Have you seen that from some of these guys at the Broncos, and have they been able to turn that baby Huey thing around?
I think Connor's a perfect example. Connor was Connor got conned. He came in the year after they won the Super Bowl, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he walks in, and the first thing Connor hears from everybody is, hey, go easy in practice. We're veteran. And that, you know, that's a knock on the Broncos 2 years ago. And we all know why. That team, the 9-7 team, they were riding on the fact that they were really good on defense, and Connor bought in. They're like, okay, I'm just going to do my job in practice. I don't want to piss anybody off. The first thing I said to McGovern is fight everyone, run down the field and cheap shot people, hold them, spit in their ear, step on their foot, do anything you can do so they don't think you're a punk. Because if they look at you as a punk on your own team, hell in the hell are they going to look at you in the NFL spectrum? I mean, you're not going to be able to develop because you have no confidence. So I agree with you wholeheartedly, Chad. And look, man, it's combine training season, right? Especially in Colorado, since nobody ever makes bowl games here. But with the guys that are coming into this next generation of offensive line play, this next class, if you're not doing football work every day and learning your craft and being versatile and multidimensional, and you're not learning some of the tricks to dump guys, because now if anybody's on the ground, it's a hold. You are putting yourself behind the eight ball so significantly when camp starts. And if you don't have that built-in jerk like I do, like Sam does, like Connor got that guy, that's who he is now. Mm-hmm. You know, there's if you're not that guy naturally, it's going to be really hard for you to just walk into the league and become some physical specimen that dominates people, because you can't hit anybody. You can't go out and, like, for example, what if Sam Jones went and played right tackle and in practice went and dumped Vaughn and hurt him? Would we think Sam's tough or stupid?
We'd think he's, I'm Tyler Palumbus, tore Elvis's pec. You know, Elvis Tumorville's pec. Everybody, like, blame Tyler. Like,
well, but at the same time, what are you supposed to do offensively? If you can't go hard in practice, how are you supposed to develop these days? So that's all we're trying to do here is give offensive and defensive linemen. That's still Lindsey was in here in the offseason last year doing board work and learning protections and all that kind of stuff, and it's helped them significantly. So we want to be a bridge for these guys to have somewhere where they can come do extra work and get better.
All right, really quick, is Elijah Wilkinson a guard?
He could be a mean-ass guard. I like him more at right tackle, but I am a big-time believer in this. Unless you're the left tackle or a all-time center, you better be able to play all three of the other positions in and out. If you're a left guard, you should be able to play right tackle. If you're a right guard, you should play left guard. If you're a guard and you can't play center, you're worthless.
We remember what happened with J.D. Walton when he had a leg injury, and he went from this marathon playing every single play guy to more or less his career was done.
And yeah.
Are you concerned about Matt Paradis' injury following that same track? Or should we not be that concerned and he'll be okay?
Okay, well, let's put it like this. I watched Chris Cooper break his leg just like that. Career was over.
Right.
I watched Paradis break his leg like that. And I'm not saying his career is over, but he's going to lose a step. I broke my leg like that when Bannon ran me over in a golf cart for the second time. Career's over. It just, when you're the lower body, okay, I've had 6 left ankle reconstructive surgeries and 2 on my right and a 5-level fusion in my back. So now Paradis has 2 surgically repaired hips and a lower leg injury. Mm-hmm. When you have lower body injuries and the middle of your body is hurt, like my spine was hurt and compromised and my ankles were compromised, it's incredibly hard to stay healthy to get better. So now Paradis' career is going to turn into how to stay healthy and get on the field rather than how to improve as a player to maximize my time.
So his timing is terrible. His timing is terrible because he's a free agent this year. So
the worst timing possible.
Yeah. All right. Hey, I appreciate it, Matt. Do you like this offensive line? Real quick?
I do. I like the fact that they're underrated and undervalued and they have something to prove. You know, you've got a bunch of guys on the offensive line that nobody thought to play. You've got an undrafted rookie running the ball down people's throats that nobody thought to play and couldn't get to the combine. You got Case Keenum who's spited. I mean, this is the Denver Broncos spite team. It's like everybody out there is trying to prove somebody wrong, and I dig it because that's who I am.
Good stuff, Matt. I appreciate it. And I know that, you know, you really do take on 6'2", you know, 240-pound seventh graders, right?
We got them walking in the gym right now.
All right. I'll leave you to that. 6-0. What's your website, Matt?
Everybody can check it out at 6-0strength.com. It's SIXZROstrength.com. Check out the website. This place is truly the bridge. We help people achieve their goals. Put 29 kids into college last year. We've got 21 so far committed this year and a bunch of offers in 2020 and 2021 so far.
All right.
Combine training is coming up. It's pretty fun. So check it out, and we'd love to help you.
All right. Thank you, Matt McChesney. Chad, I know you do personal coaching as well. How beneficial to guys on the next level is that tune-up, that going in for some real one-on-one stuff outside of the team perspective?
Think about it, being a rookie in a linebacker room, and maybe you've got Von Miller in that room. Do you really want to hold the coach up and say, hey, I've got a question about something we talked about a couple of days ago? No, so those personal training situations allow you to have those detailed conversations that you may be afraid to have with your coach, that you would say, I don't want to give the coach a clue that I don't know. So let me go to this personal trainer and review these things. When I walk into that room, I can be prepared as possible.
And you do that with college and pro guys to this day, right?
All the time.
Because that's that one, like, I can talk about myself a little bit, not a little bit, a lot, in those situations where you can't in the team environment.
Yes, the role that Matt and I play, is certainly there's some X's and O's to it. There's certainly some technique and fundamental to it. But more than anything, it's the football whisperer.
Well, why don't we talk about the linebackers coming up? We'll talk about the Bengals because Vance Joseph said the best linebacker was Shaquille Barrett, not Bradley Chubb or Von Miller last week. So what exactly is going on? And what should we expect out of the Bengals? We'll get there next.